I think I gave you this prayer. And if not, and you want it, you come up to me afterwards and let me know, and I'll email it to you. But it's something that I felt like God had me write down and told me to share it with y'all. And it may help you if you would pray it. Has anybody prayed this prayer that I'm getting ready to talk about? Has it helped in any way? I'm going to read it through, and then we're going to go back and talk about it a little bit, and then we have some more to read. And I know y'all have never turned to this chapter of John 14, but we're going to read a few verses there. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. This is a prayer that God just had me write down for y'all because of John 14. And I told you this story before I'm going to read this. A man, a church called a pastor, and he went there in his first sermon. He got up and preached John 3:16, and they thought it was awesome. And they came back that night, and he preached John 3:16, and they thought it was really good. I mean, he didn't preach the same sermon, but it was from the same text. And then when they came on Wednesday night, he preached John 3:16, and they thought, wow, every one of them's good, you know. Then they came next Sunday, and he preached John 3:16, and a number of them got together and said, we don't understand. And so they came to him as a group and said, we don't understand, you know, you've preached John 3:16 four times now, and we really like it, and we got stuff out of it, but do you know anything else? And he said, well, God told me when y'all get this, we can move on. And we've only been in John 14 for about 3 months now. And whenever I ask him, he says, why don't we go over to John 14? Now, I want you to understand something. All morning he's been bringing a church to my mind, a pastor friend of mine that has a fairly large church, and I've been praying for him all morning off and on, and even during worship and whatever, he just kept bringing them to my mind, and I don't know what's going on there, but I've just been praying for him. And I say that because what if you're trying to live for God, and what if you're doing, you know, you understand do's and don'ts, the Ten Commandments, you understand different things that you need to do, and you're doing all these things, but what if you don't know that God loves you? There's a lot of people that are doing things trying to earn God's favor. They're what I call working toward the cross. They say they're believers, but they're trying to do things to get God to love them or accept them or be happy with them. Can you imagine what life would be like if you were already so loved and so believed in, and you were right up on the lap of Almighty God, and you felt so treasured, like you were His favorite? And you lived from that place. Like every day. I pray with people and talk with people every day. God asked me to talk to all these different people. And I pray for so many of them as He leads. And I hear, y'all have heard me say it so many times, and they say, wow, you made my day. You helped me so much. They're crying. They're laughing. You just brought peace. Yeah, lady yesterday said, you don't even know. They all say the same thing so much. You don't even know how much that helped me. You don't even know what I was going through. I don't have to. He does. And He linked us together. And I pray for Him, whatever. Now watch what happens. Here's God. And I brought them to God. I brought them into His perspective. I brought them into His love. And it's not that I did it. God just worked through me. You understand? Because He's done it with you, right? Has He not? Okay. And I say to them, as He leads, what if you could live from this place instead of visit here? What if you could live in His presence instead of having to keep coming back to it? I'm praying. I'm reading a prayer that I hope you already have, and if not, come and ask me for it. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that You love me. I believe that You love me with all Your heart and with all Your soul and with all Your mind, and You love me with all Your strength. I believe that You saw my need, that I was lost, and You valued me by laying down Your life so that I could be set free from that sin and come to know You. I believe that I am Your child, Father God. And it's all because I put my faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now You live inside of me as the Holy Precious Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe that I am now part of Your family, Father, and that You desire me to come close and hang out with You every moment of my life. And I believe that You also now desire me to sit on Your lap and lean against Your breast with Your arms around me and my arms hugging You. I believe that You do love me and You believe in me and You have plans and desires for my life. I want to look into Your eyes, Daddy, and hear all that You want to say to me. I believe that You will never leave me nor forsake me because You said so. You are my Father, God. I believe that Your hands are extended toward me because You want me, and I believe that You desire me. Yes, I believe that You love me greatly, and Your love for me will never change, Jesus. Thank You so very much. I believe that You love me for who I am and not for what I do. I believe that You have desire for me and not expectation in me. So You don't get disappointed in me, Heavenly Father. I believe that You do not get disappointed nor mad at me, though You do grieve and cry over me, Holy Precious Spirit. I believe that You love me with everything in Your being, Jesus. I believe that you want the best for me, my Heavenly Papa. I believe, Heavenly Father, that you have given me your word and your spirit to guide and protect me and make your way very plain and clear so that you can bless me in all the ways that you deeply desire, so that you can even bless me as if I were Jesus himself. And believing these things has made all the difference in my life. Thank you so very much. Can we go over that? Would that be okay? Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. Do you believe he loves you? How much does he love you? Okay. Rick said unconditional. What does that mean? If he unconditionally loves me, what does that mean? Whatever condition I'm in, he loves me. When I'm at my worst, he loves me. We can't earn his love and we can't lose it. There's a man that I led to the Lord when he was a boy. He was a teenager. And when I led him to the Lord, he told me that if I had not led him to the Lord, 3 days later, he and two other boys were going to kill a man. They'd been listening to, I think it's called Iron Maiden, and some words in that music. They had decided, they picked a man at random. They didn't even know the man. But they wanted to kill somebody because of the words that were in this song. And they picked a man and then they plotted and tracked him. I don't know what all the words are, but they researched his life so that they could kill him. And some teenagers, the day before he met Jesus, as I was taking them home, said to me, Mr. Hampton, whatever you do, don't talk to that boy as we drove by. So when I dropped them off, I went right back to talk to that boy. Invited him to church, and the next day, and when I picked him up for church, when it was, he came to my Sunday school for teenagers, and I preached, and we went out there and had church. In a Baptist church. And when the altar call was given to make a decision with what's going to be done with the words of God just spoken, he said, would you go up and pray with me? And he called out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus, and his life changed. And he tried to become Harvey instead of trying to become Jesus. He tried to do everything I did. He would stay up all night reading his Bible because that's what I did. And he would pray all the time and everybody, he started coming to the Christian school and he was from a broken home and he had a second dad who did not understand me at all. Okay. And this boy, they called him Little Harvey at school. That's what they called him. Okay. And at our Christian school. And he was called to preach. Now I want to give you a thought right here before I go on. I want you to think about what a rebel is. But I want you to realize that it may apply to you, what I'm getting ready to say. Because there are rebels in the kingdom of God. Three words. God's way works. God's way works. I dare you to ask God, is there, you say you want more of God, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
Can't hear your head nod. Okay. All right. That's what my dad used to say. Can't hear your head rattle. Okay. Here we go. Ready? You want God? Then you say to God, God, what's in my life that's not in line with you? What is it that needs to be different in my life? He is not going to overwhelm you. If you get overwhelmed, that's the devil. God is real gentle and He'll deal with you one thing at a time. But I'm going to let you know, nobody started as bad off as me. And I told him, I want to start my whole life over. And I just was dealing with some people that might have a few more man years, you know, earth years than I do. And I just talked to them about, okay, you say what you have isn't working so well, then let's start all over. And this time we're going to just build with Jesus. We're just going to build the Jesus life from ground up. That means everything that we think we know or are doing, we have to lay it at His feet and say, I'm willing to quit doing this or thinking this to give you your way. He cares about you so much. Now, if I was God, I wouldn't let you have a free will. I wouldn't, because people make so many wrong choices. Five, ten Christians could tell somebody the same thing, but bless God, their feet are stuck. Nope, this is the way it's got to be. This is what I think. It doesn't bear witness with anybody, but that's what they're going to do. That is a rebel. That's a rebellious spirit. We need to be subject to authority. If we are not subject, we are a rebel, because we are one or the other. We're either a rebel in the kingdom or we're a subject in the kingdom. Which one are we? None of us wants to think of ourselves as a rebel, but there's a reason I'm saying these words. God, how am I being rebellious? How am I not under authority? How am I not subject? How am I not submissive? What am I allowing or justifying or giving excuse to in what I do that is not you? Into parentheses. God loves us so much. Rick said, unconditionally. God never quits loving us. He loves us even when we're rebels. He doesn't give up on us. Did you hear that song? I see enemies, and God, you see your footstool. Oh, I love that. Because when I read anything from mainstream media, that's the word I was looking for, it's all antichrist and against our president. And I get so upset. And he has to keep reminding me, I didn't call you to deal with politics. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, I just hate all the rebellion and all the criticism and all the lack of respect and all the self-will and all the setting themselves up as God that's portrayed, and the lack of truth in newspapers and media, the slant that they have, it just gets me upset. And God sees His footstool. There are people that are going to spend eternity in hell. We do not want that. God does not want that. He's not willing 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter 2:4, Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And by the way, you know how they're going to get saved? By you and I telling them. You and I living Jesus. You and I sharing Christ. Not that we're better, because we aren't, are we? Humbling ourselves and admitting what we really are. I don't measure up. I fail. And He loves me anyway. I'm a work in progress. I'm not pointing you to me, I'm pointing you to Him. But God loves us unconditionally. We got to get past the first line. Okay. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. Yes, Jesus, I do believe that you love me. I believe that you love me with all your heart. Think about that. With all your soul, you love me with all your mind, your will, and your emotions. His whole will is loving us. He chooses to love us. I believe you love me with all your mind, all your thoughts. I love that Psalm, and there's a whole bunch of other verses, but that's the one that comes to me. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. Your thoughts toward me are more than the sand of the sea. Because He quickened that to me. And whenever I get near sand, He'll have me pick up a handful and just look at all the grains. And He's going, I love you more. And this is just a handful. But He says, I love you more than all the sand of the sea. My thoughts toward you. He thinks about you all the time. We're doing that song, whatever song we were doing, all of them. And I'm just getting lost in God. And I can't follow the song. If I stand up, I'm going to fall down. So I have to stay sitting down for me. I could do a little dance with my hand or something. But I can't. If I stand up, I'm going to fall down. Because I just get lost in His love. I get lost in His person, in His presence. Do you understand that God loves you with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you believe that? He says, and I don't have this one written out, I just started adding it this morning. I believe that you saw my need and that I was lost and you valued me so much, you were willing to give your life for me. You want to comment on that? Go ahead. My wife was at a, went to a garage sale one time, imagine that. And she saw this little sheep. And it was dirty and stained and its neck was broken. And my wife could see it restored. So my wife brought it home and cleaned it up and restored it and made it look like new. I'm trying to remember. I can almost think of the name she gave it, but I can't quite. But I can see the girl who's got the same name, but I can't think of her name. God saw us broken and stained. I want you to picture like a. You ever worked in a shop and had an old shop rag that had oil dry on it? You know what I'm talking about? Kitty litter stuff. and it was all stained. And what do you do with that? You throw them away. I want you to think about that. And God doesn't throw anybody away. And it doesn't matter how broken or stained or wasted their life is. He doesn't throw anybody away. How about this one? I believe... So here's Jesus loving us. Here's Jesus valuing me when I wasn't valuable to other people. How could I not love Him? How could I love Him with just flippant words, I love you, and then not honor Him with my life, like every breath? And when Brother Glenn said, no one's ever loved me like that before. Do you want more of that love? Then God's way works. And seek His face. I think it's 1 Chronicles 16:11. It says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. I want you. I need you. I've got to have more of you. Thank you for what you've done, but I'm a greedy guts. I need more of you. What you're looking for in your life right now, your needs, you're going to find fulfilled in Jesus. I'm telling you. It's like seeking Him. You know what's laughing? Just looking right in His eyes. Put your patties. Get up on His lap. And put your patties right on His cheeks and look in His eyes. When you find out how He sees you, how He believes in you. Sorry, did I get ahead of myself? I believe that I am your child, Father God, because I put my faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you put your faith in His blood? Jesus, your blood was shed for me. You died because of me. My sin killed you. Are you trusting in His blood? The Bible says you are born into His family. You become His child. Now, I want you to... You can't put yourself, you can't trade places with Jesus. But I want you to know that He loves you just like He loves Jesus. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. John chapter 17 in verse 23, I believe it is.
John 17, 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
God has loved us as He loved Jesus. Is anybody... seeing that? You are loved by Father God as if you were Jesus Himself. God has me pray that for people all the time. Father, I would like you to bless this person as if they were Jesus Himself. And now, Almighty God, You live inside of me as the Holy Precious Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God Himself lives inside of you? Do you know that before Jesus rose from the dead, He never lived inside of people? That means King David and Abraham and Moses and Jeremiah, He did not live inside of them. God's revelation to mankind has been progressive. He now lives inside of you. If you have accepted and trusted in Christ's blood for your sin, He indwells you. He will not leave you comfortless. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will not abandon you. He doesn't have a cutoff point. Brother Harvey, sometimes I can't find God. Sometimes I think He's not listening. Sometimes I feel far away from God. Can you say any of that? So reconcile that to what you just said. How does that fit? Because God doesn't leave us. We leave Him. And yet He continues to pursue us even when we leave Him. He comes after us even when we leave Him. Luke 19:10. You want to turn there? I want you to see it. Luke 19:10.
Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
So Jesus is come to seek and to save Jen when she's lost to God. Jesus has come to seek and to save Roger when he feels lost to God. Jesus is come to seek after you when you're running from Him. Is that in the Bible? Right there. And you can hold your place in Luke because we're going to come back there in a minute. But why don't you turn over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. See how right in the beginning, how mankind left God. Somebody read that. Genesis 3:8.
Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Okay, and then read the next verse.
Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?
Okay, do you think God didn't know where He was? Have you ever had your kids go like this? You can't see me?
Yes.
And you look at the little codger and you're like, are you silly or what? Like, but they think because they close their eyes, you can't see them. They don't know yet. You don't hear adults say that except silly people like me, you know. God knew where they were. He wanted them to realize they were lost. He wanted them to realize they had left God. The voice of the Lord God sounds like Jesus Himself. The voice of the Lord God. I'm telling you, it's just so simple when you get it. The voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Okay, like you know what the presence of God is? Hiding from that? Hiding from that? Why would you hide from that? They were ashamed. You see, they left God. He didn't leave them. And even when they left him, he came looking for them. But you see, people have to make a choice to agree with truth. He said, where are you? So somebody had to be honest. Here's where I am. I'm hiding in the bushes. Why are you hiding in the bushes? Because I'm naked. Okay, you've gotten into sin. You've already gone against what I said. Who told you? Who helped you get into sin? She did. All right, didn't we learn about Jaden and blame shifting in church yet? You know, he goes, no, we hadn't heard that yet. Who's Brother Harvey? You know? And what about it, woman? What about it, woman? And she goes, the devil, he made me do it. I learned that from Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. When you can't find God, okay, very practical. When you can't find God, when you're estranged, separated from him, you feel that? Stop. Get real. God, is there sin in my life? Now, if he brings sin to your mind, get real and be honest and admit it and then bring it under the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry that I caused your death and your pain and suffering because of this sin. Because every sin had to be paid for. So Jesus, I'm bringing you. Don't just say, I'm sorry. I hate it when I hear kids say, I'm sorry. I'm like, you ain't sorry. You're just saying words because your mom's going to smack you if you don't. Or take away your toy. Or give you a time out. You're sorry. So don't just say to God, I'm sorry. Be real. I'm trying to help you. This will help you. God, I'm sorry that I caused you death and pain and suffering because of this sin. I'm sorry that that's true in my life. And Jesus, I want to bring it under your blood. Will you please forgive me? And every single time when you bring it, being honest and open with a broken, contrite heart, immediately his answer, every time, even if you just did it 2 minutes ago, or 3 minutes ago, or 4 minutes ago, every time his answer is, of course I will. I've been right here waiting for you. Adam and Eve didn't have to answer. Adam, where art thou? Shh, maybe he won't know. Is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to do? How long you want to stay out in the bushes? Naked. Okay. You got it? You get what I'm saying? Tell him. Immediately, God, you're right. Yes, Lord, I am so sorry. I did that. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I caused you to have to go through for me to be forgiven. Do you get it? You don't just say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You could do that. That's where you need to start. But let's go beyond that. Because when you go beyond that, you're going to find you won't go into that as quick. You'll find that you are in his presence more. You'll find it's harder for the devil to get you to leave his presence. Because you'll think about what it is you're doing. You're making a conscious choice. The reason it's so easy for us to fall into sin is because we don't think about it. We're only thinking about pleasing this stuff called flesh, whether it's our flesh or somebody else's flesh. Forget about pleasing your flesh. Your spirit man inside of you wants to please Jesus. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm right. Okay. That's your choice, right? I want to please Jesus in my heart. I want to bless Jesus. I want to honor Him. Then don't make it easy for yourself. I think it's Romans 14:12, and it says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't make it easy for your flesh to get into sin. Romans 14:12, I believe is the verse. It says, make no provision for the flesh. That means don't make it easy for your flesh. Okay, I'm going to turn on this movie that's rated R, and if anything comes up, and if it bothers me, and if I think it's, and if, then I'll turn it off. When it's rated R, I have to, okay, it looks all exciting and I want to see it, but because it's rated R, I want to stay away from it. I got to be acutely aware. Sue, help me. She can tell me to turn the thing off, I just turn it off. But my flesh doesn't want to turn it off. Who am I living for, my flesh or Jesus? Which part of me do I want to please, this outer man or the inner man? Is this helping anybody? I mean, we can go on. Is this helping anybody? Okay. I apologize. I know how to preach to appeal to crowds because I've done it. Okay? I know how to impress people and give alliterated outlines where it all starts with P's every point and put some little funny stories in there. I know how to do all that. And I've done that. But you know what I care about? I'm listening and I'm hearing a couple of people talk. I'm hearing somebody give a testimony and I'm hearing things that they've had to hear over and over again and be around and go through some inner healing and different stuff. And now I'm hearing it in, I'm hearing Christ, some victorious living in their lives. And that is worth more to me than having 400 people sitting in front of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could get up and entertain. I could be a, whatever you call that, a stand-up comedian. I could do all that. I get people laughing all the time. I could do that. I can do the religiously entertaining thing, but I've done that. And it's like I used to say to Nate when he would talk to me about doing worship at different places, I said, Nate, okay, they all jumped up or they all fell down. So a week later, how were their lives different? Where's Jesus? Because America's going to hell being entertained. It's not about entertaining you, and it's not about me getting a big name. It's about helping you in a very practical way. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I don't care about impressing you or whatever. I care about helping you to get and live Jesus in a real way. That's what I see Jesus doing. And He only had 12. And every now and then, He's around a crowd. But where was the crowd when it was time for Him to go to the cross? They turned on Him, didn't they? But and even the 12. But Jesus, after they had time to repent and time to consider what they had done, they came back and they gave their lives to Jesus to the extent that every one of the 12, well, the one, you know, but then Paul comes in. Every one of the 12 was martyred for Jesus. That means they voluntarily laid their life down. They could have just not said some things and gotten away. But they so gave their lives to Jesus. He was so important to them that even when they were faced with physical death, they said, like the three Hebrew children, we're not going to bend, budge, or burn. You do whatever you want. Throw me in the furnace. It's not like I want to go there, but guess what? I'm not bowing. I'm not bowing to your whatever you want me to bow to. And if I need to burn, well, inside I'm burning with zeal for my God. And if you need to burn my outside, go ahead. But I'm not going to burn like you're going to burn forever. I care about your life and how this is going to help your life. And now you live inside of me, precious Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. Include Him. Ask Him questions. He is your teacher. He's the one who will illuminate, quicken, make alive things to you. He will be your comforter when you turn to Him. Because you're going to need comfort. And we're going to fail you. We cannot meet your need even if we feel sorry for you and whatever. Do you understand? It may help a little. But He is the comforter. He even said, that's my name. He said, you can know me as the comforter. And He now lives inside of you. Another part of the prayer. I believe that I am now part of your family, Father God. Wow. That means we weren't part of His family. There are people you know that are not part of His family. There are people you know that are not part of God's family. There are people you know that are not your brothers and sisters. Everybody is not a child of God. I hear people say, everybody's child. No, everybody's a creation of God. Unless Jesus is a liar. Is Jesus a liar? He said you must be born again. Born into God's family. Before that, you're His creation. Everybody is not a child of God. Everybody is not going to heaven. If you want a verse there is Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I'm not even going to quote it to you. Just read it later. I believe that I am now part of your family, Father God. Now watch this. And that you desire me to come close. Wow. He didn't just say, okay, come be one of my subjects and be out in the kingdom. He's like, no. He said, I actually desire you to come close. Me? Me? Like there's a crowd. Me? How come if He bids people to come close, why don't they? Why don't you? Think about what I'm saying. What keeps us from coming close? Do you believe He wants you to come close? Huh? What's stopping you? Okay. We're thinking here. That's why we're going through this slowly, okay? How about this? How about this? Jesus makes access unto the Father through His blood. Okay? So when the devil starts reminding us of our sins, say, thank you, I need to confess that. Thanks for reminding me. As soon as he starts, that's what the Bible says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Thanks for reminding me. I need to confess that right now. Darn! See what I'm saying? Turn that lemon into a lemonade. Okay? Turn that eyesore into a feature. Okay? Now watch. So, as soon as you do that, you have immediate access. Everything's clear between you and God. When you come through the blood of Jesus, everything's clear again. Right? Right?
Right.
Okay? So he says, I believe I'm now part of your family and you desire me to come close. You know why sometimes we don't come close? Because our focus is not his presence. Our focus is, you name it. Our focus, sometimes I get all caught up in tub glaze and forget God. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we get caught up in watching a movie and he's pricking us. Hey, like I remember I was sitting there with my pastor one time, my wife and I and pastor's wife, and they cussed. And the preacher goes, oh, that's one. And they cussed again. He goes, oh, that's two. And they cussed again. He goes, oh, that's 14. And I looked over and he was my pastor and I said, how high do we have to go before we turn it off? Because he did. He got up to 14. And every time I go, look at him, he was my pastor. I'm following him. And just because we go, oh, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that, oh, we become like what we associate with. We start making excuses. If you hang out with liars, you'll end up lying. The Bible says, go not with an angry man, lest thou become like unto him. Because we become what we associate with. We have to start justifying why they're doing what they're doing. We compromise truth. We compromise ourselves. We compromise Jesus so that we can not hurt their feelings, so that we can keep doing what we're doing, or so we can stay with them. You desire me to come close. Okay, you ready? Draw a line in the sand. From this point forward, Lord, I want my focus to be your presence. And then wherever you send me, it's like, Lord, what do you want to do? And he says to me every morning when I ask him, because I ask him every morning. Okay, it's not my life. Before I get out of bed. Okay, it's not my life. You paid for it. What would you like to do today? And he's like, let's go do some tubs. I'm like, okay. But I know if he's saying, let's go do some tubs, he's not saying, Harvey, I don't have time for you. Go play. He's like, I'm going to go with you. Let's go rake the yard. Are you kidding? Okay. Let's go do this thing Sue wants you to do. Okay. But I know he's going with me. We're doing it together. It's not like being raised by our parents where they said, go play, you bother me. You know, better to be, what is it? Children are born to be seen and not heard. You know, how many times did I hear that? Probably a lot more than you because I talk so much. But what did it make us feel? It made us feel abandoned. It made us feel like we weren't wanted. It made us feel like we were a nuisance. But God's not like that. I'm going to stop on this one, but I just got to finish it. You desire me to come close. So how close do you want to be to him? So here's my thought. Ready? From this point forward, I want my focus to be your presence. And then when I say, what, I want to be with you. And he says, okay, let's go to work. And I go, okay, now I know we're going to go to work like this instead of me having to go to work by myself. We're going to work together. So I'm still in his presence. My focus is his presence. So as I'm driving to work, I'm talking to him. As I'm at work, I'm talking to him. And then somebody comes in my life and he pokes a little hole in my balloon and draws my attention. Yes, say this. Give him a hug. Whatever it is. I learn my focus becomes his presence. Everything I do. Because he desires me to come close and stay there. In John 15, 1 through 8, he talks about the word abide. It means remain or stay or dwell or live or hang out with him. Just like a branch on a vine, vitally attached. So his life is flowing through you, causing you to be green, which produces photosynthesis, which means you're going to become a breath of fresh air to somebody. And your life is going to become sweet. And you're going to be living in sweetness. How about this one? She's singing that she's Psalm 100. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his court and enter his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Think about this. Have you ever been around somebody that is negative and gripes and complains? Okay. It's okay. God's bringing this to your attention to help you realize God bless you. You enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Thank you. God bless you again. Watch this. So we enter into his presence with thanksgiving. God, dear Holy Spirit, Holy Reminder-er, John 14:26. Please, when I go to complain, would you remind me so that I'll begin to think? But I just had a car accident and they totaled my car. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't die and leave Roxanne alone. There's something you can always be thankful for. Thank you that nobody else died. Thank you that it's just a thing. Thank you that I have insurance. Thank him for everything you can think of. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? I'm trying to end this one now. Look, I'm right here. Father, it's just this one point. Father, that you desire me to come close and you want me to hang out with you every moment of my life. And I believe that you also now desire me to sit on your lap and lean against your breast with your arms around me and my arms hugging you, Father God. Now, how does it get better than that? So, do you just want to visit there? Or would you like to learn to live there? Okay, so the things we're saying today, they're not options. This isn't smorgasbord. Oh, well, I like point one and two, but not three and four. This isn't smorgasbord, folks. The word, it's not Swiss cheese. You know, Holy Bible, he doesn't mean it's got a bunch of holes in it. That's not what the kind of holy he's talking about. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. Now, let me teach you something, and we're going to end with this. You may have heard this before, but it's okay. We'll just replay. God, my desire is to live the 10 commandments, but I fail every day. My desire is to live in your presence, but I fail every day. I find that I have to keep coming back. My desire is to not sin, but I fail and I have to... You ready? God, here's my desire. It's exactly what you want, but I can't do it without you. But I'm letting you know this is my eternal choice. I want exactly what you want. But I can't do it without you, Jesus. Would you get me there? And that's my choice. But as soon as I mess up, I'm going to just fess up again and say, Jesus, I messed up again. And you said, don't worry. You don't get to fail. You just get to keep repeating till you get it. He said, you're closer now. He said, you're more in my presence now than you were a year ago, aren't you? He said, he said, I'm not disappointed at all. I'm excited for where you're at. I just have more. Do you want more? It all depends on Him. We have a desire to do what's right, but we have to come to that place. See, in the beginning, we try to do what's right, and then we keep failing. We can't keep the rules. We can't do everything right. We can't remember. Oh, Brother Harvey said that. Man, I've heard it 500 times. Like, you would think I would have memorized it by now, but how come I can't remember when I need it? I fail when I try to do it myself. God used to have me say, when I preached around the country, he would say, do it like this. I preached to a crowd, and he would say, it is impossible to live the Christian life. And he told me, pause for effect. Pause. I'm pausing. Without Christ. It's impossible to live the Christian life. Pause without Christ. You can't do it. It's Christ living in you. And for Christ to live in you, that means only one of you can sit in the driver's seat. That means you need to die to this flesh. You need to die to your ability. You need to die to your own wisdom. Well, I know you just got in His way. Well, I know. And God's like, I'll wait until you don't know. I'll wait until you try what you think you know, but it don't work. Or what you do, you think work, but it irritates everybody else because it wasn't me. It wasn't alive. It was just religious rules. When you don't know, then I could tell you. But as long as you think you know, you stop my flow. When we say, I already know, we stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. I can't, but you can. And you can do anything. And you do it all well. What do you want to talk about today? Where do you want to go? What's the wisdom for this situation? How do I deal with this person? God, they just hurt me. Well, come. Let me hug you. Come. Raise your hand. Tell them you need to go potty. And go in the bathroom and let me hug on you and kiss you. I tell that to people all the time on the phone when I go to pay my bill. You know, and I pay the credit card or whatever. And then I'm talking to them and God's getting loose. And I say, when you're done, hang up. And raise your hand, tell him you need to go potty so you can get alone and tell God, God, I want to own everything He just said. I said, otherwise you're going to have warm, fuzzy feelings and you're going to go around talking about Harvey instead of talking about Jesus, and you're not going to be living Jesus tomorrow or the next day because you just had a warm, fuzzy feeling. I said, we want to own this, right? And they go, yeah. I said, well, here's how to do it. Take a time out and get alone with God and say, God, I need to live that. God, I need You to come live it in me. God, I need You to help me. Teach me how to do this. And realize it's one baby step at a time. You're not going to like go from sinner to saint in the flesh overnight. It doesn't happen that way. You do in the spirit because you're born again and you become a sanctified one. Okay? And that's an immediate thing because it's all what Jesus did. But what we do in the flesh is a process of making choices. And there's some choices you have to make right in the beginning, like my focus from this point forward in life, my focus is going to be His presence. So my whole focus of every minute of every day is to be in His presence. But then from His presence, He'll send me out to wash the dishes, to go do my job, to drive to the store, to do groceries, to... You get it? But my focus is His presence. I want to stay in His presence. What, John, what keeps me in His presence? Oh, let me see if I can please my flesh. You just lost His presence because you were living for self. Okay? Jesus, You are so cool. You are so patient and kind and tender-hearted and gentle and loving and more loving and then fulfill loving. You're like loving. You're like so cool. Loving. I just love your love. Yes. I love that thought that you have me say often when I'm just wanting to tell you how much I love you and just say, I love your life. I love everything about your life, Father God. I love your life, Holy Spirit. I love how you deal with me, and you're so kind and gentle and never in a hurry and tender. And yet you never compromise on truth or with sin. But you're always just want to deal with things thoroughly, not lightly, not superficially, because you care about the long run. Thank you so much. Please take these words. Please quicken them to our spirits. May you remind us, Holy Spirit, so that we would learn how to live in your presence, dwell there, walk in you, and realize it's you, Jesus, living your life in us, not us trying to live for you because we'll fail. But we want to die to our life. We don't like our life outside of you anyway, do we? Okay, so we want to die to our life so that you could come finish living out your life in us, that precious life that we're so thankful for. Jesus, we are right now telling you we're willing vessels for you to come and live your life through us. How would you like to live your life in me today, right now? Jesus, you are like the coolest. I love, I just love all the revelations, insights, understanding you've given me. I'm so glad all these years just keep working, never giving up, so kind. You're so awesome. I ask your richest blessings on the hearers and doers of your word today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.